Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Welcome to the show on today. Amen. God bless you. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. We thank God it is Saturday. Amen. Today is Saturday, May 14th. Amen. We are so happy to be with you guys on today. Amen. This is the show to get your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold. This is the network where the gospel is told and not sold as well. Amen. We praise God for each and every one of you on today. And if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. Not because you're hearing my voice, but hallelujah, if you are listening to me, you are in the land of the living. If you're hearing my voice, you're in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God the praise on today, because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, amen. We praise God for being here on today, amen. I want to get all the preliminaries out of the way in Jesus' name before we jump into this topic on today, because we got a blessed topic on today. Amen. Today, I want to give a special blessing. I want to send blessings off to our founder, our leader on this, on the Spirit Alive Network, Bishop Shalene Cook. Amen. God bless you. We love you over here at the Spirit Alive Network.
God bless you. Every
single show that is on the Spirit Alive Network, I speak. For them and for myself, in Jesus' name. I know they feel the same way. We thank God for you, Bishop Cook. Amen. And at this time, amen, also I want to do a special announcement. My pastor asked me to do this. Well, he didn't ask me, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know he wouldn't mind. As I know, my father has retired from the post office. He did 37 years at the post office and the United States Postal Service. And I thank God for him being retired now. But I thank God he gave me a call on yesterday. And I want to share with you all the United States Postal Service is doing their canned food drive around the country on today. So he is still organizing. My father is still organizing the station that he used to work at. Amen. They called him back to organize it. Amen. So my pastor's still working. Amen. But he wanted me to do this announcement. I was going to do this announcement for him. If you have any canned goods today, this is mailmen are coming around the nation picking up canned goods. Perishables, make sure that the perishables are good use, and give them to your mailmen, and they can deliver it back to the station because they are having a canned food drive, amen. So bless somebody on today, amen. They're getting ready for, I believe it's Memorial Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving. They stock up all of this food for people. They give it to cleaners, things like that, so they can have a good, so families can have good meals. Amen. In Jesus' name. So if you're thinking of a way to give back, give your canned goods that you don't use or you might have, just give it to your mailman and they will take it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. Now, let's jump into this topic. Now,
I thank God for this topic on today. I wanna dive right into this because everybody needs this, whether you're saved or unsaved, whether you're in church, out of church, in between, in the middle, whatever. But everybody needs to know the Lord has been dealing with me on people and myself, but the Lord had been dealing with me on self-worth. Amen. Self-worth. Do you know your worth? The title of this topic today is We Are Counted Worthy. And if I could subtitle this, it would be, do you know your worth? We have some saints and we have some people that are out there in the world that do not know their self-worth. They do not know how powerful their worth is. But if we look in the Bible has declared from the very beginning of time that we were counted worthy. And the things that I want to go over, the things that the Lord gave to me to go over on today is where do we get our worth from? Where was our self-worth from eventually? Where did it come from? Did it come from God? Did it not come from God? Did we just automatically, when we were born, were we born with it? Does it come as we get older? Does it come? Where does it begin? Amen. And that's what we're going to find out today. Is it something spiritual? Is it something just in the natural? Amen. This is what we're going to look at today. Amen. So I'm going to dive into I'm going to go to a scripture. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 14 through 20. We're going to start right there. Amen. We're going to start at 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 verse 14. We're going to start at verse 14. Amen. And then we're going to go down all the way down to verse number 20. Amen. Amen. This is our key verses. And these are the verses that I want you to look at verse 14 first. Amen. And it reads, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attended unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetuation. I think that's how you say that word. Amen. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have confessed with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up from the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb of a proverb and a byword among all nations. Amen. And if we go to Isaiah chapter 53, we need to go look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, this is another key verse. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. Amen. And it reads, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Amen. Now, let's just take a moment to look at these two scriptures, right? On these two scriptures right here. Amen. In these verses. If we look at these, the Lord is trying to let us know that, hey, we have power in him. Amen. From the very beginning, God established us. Amen. Our lives were, before sin came into the picture, before sin came into the picture, man's life was bliss. Amen. Man's life was bliss because he didn't want any wrong to happen to us. Amen. He didn't want anything of a hurtful nature to happen to us. We were perfect. Our bodies were perfect. We didn't see sickness. We didn't have any pain or anything like that. But the thing was is that in the beginning of time, God counted us worthy. Amen. This is him counting us worthy giving us all that we had to have to live, with no pain, with no bills, we didn't have to work. At the beginning, when Adam was created, Adam didn't have to work. He didn't. In the Garden of Eden, he was counted worthy. Amen. At the beginning of time, God counted us worthy. Now, if you want to look at that, we can go to Genesis chapter number 2. Let's go there real quick. Genesis chapter number 2, verses 7 and 8. And then we're going to drop down to verse 15 through 17. Amen. Genesis chapter number 2, we're going to start at verse number 7, and then we're going to read verse number 8. Amen. And it reads, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Verse number 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he formed. This is God allowing us to see how he thought about us. If we were a detriment to the world, he wouldn't have put our Adam was a detriment to the garden of which where God placed him. He wouldn't have placed Adam there. Amen. When he created Adam, Adam was perfect. Everything that God does is perfect because he's perfect. Amen. So when he created Adam in perfection. Amen. Let's go down to verse number 15. Let's drop down there. And this is where he counted us worthy. This is where he counted us worthy in this. starting at verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And he commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And now, he was warning now in his counting us worthy, he allowed man to make their own decisions. Amen. And out of our decision making, we decided, or Adam decided, you might say, well, I didn't do it. And no, you didn't. But out of Adam's decision making, we lost our self-worth. We were already counted worthy at the beginning when man became a living soul. Life was put into us. When life was put into Adam, he counted us worthy. He counted man or mankind worthy. He counted us worthy to be able to breathe. He breathed. It said it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that he breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils. He breathed his own breath into him. God breathed his own breath into him. It is something for, like, when he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He entrusted Peter with him, with his word. God does not put life on anything that he does not put himself in anything that's unclean. He counted us worthy to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, everybody can receive the Holy Ghost. Now, does everybody have the Holy Ghost? No, but it is freely given. But there is a sacrifice you have to make to be counted worthy of having the Holy Ghost. There's a sacrifice that you have to make, because once, just like living life, there are things in our life that can be detrimental to our life, our lifespan, amen, to our natural life. This is, and for example, you would think that, and I'm going to use somebody in Hollywood right now, and you would think that this individual is he made people laugh all the time. And you would think, since he's making people laugh, that he is the most happiest person on the face of the earth. That he's making people laugh in movies, he's making people laugh on stage, he's doing comedy, da 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 da, all this stuff. He's making people laugh. He must be in bliss. Because he makes people laugh. He done made me, in my childhood, he done made me laugh. That's Robin Williams. Robin Williams made me laugh. Amen. And you would think that he, out of making people laugh, that he would be one of the most funniest people. He's one of the most funniest actors that I know in my time. Amen. But yet, he lost his self-worth somewhere because he took his own life. He fell under depression. And a person that falls under depression, I'm not just talking about depression, but any time a person loses their self-worth, they can fall under spirits like that. So our self-worth does come from God. It is a spiritual thing to have worth, because he counted us. When God counts you worthy, you have worth. That's why Jesus died. That's why he said, for God so loved, in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What is that life everlasting? It is not just talking about eternal life. Just like this scripture said, when God told Adam, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. It wasn't just talking about a physical death. It was talking about a spiritual death. It wasn't just talking about a spiritual death either. It was talking about a physical death. He was warning us. And just like he warned Adam, if you do this, you shall surely die. Sin kills us. Sin kills everything about us. Amen? Sin is the most detrimental killer than anything in this world. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. What do you think he uses? Headaches and O's and our aches to kill us? No. He is sin. He loves it. The devil loves it when a person sins, whether you saved or unsaved, or whether you call yourself saved or not. He loves it when you go into your flesh. That's why we have to kill the lustful things of our flesh. We have to kill the flesh. Sometimes flesh want to rise up, kill it. How do we kill it? We kill it with fasting, praying, staying close to God. There are some people that have lost their work because they have lost their mind. And I'm not just talking about they going crazy, where they done gone local, or they going off doing something crazy. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not just talking about that, but there are some people that lose their worth and lose their mind so bad that they do stuff like that. It's true. It happens. And this is where God has counted us worthy. And when God counts us worthy, He has a plan set up for us. He has a plan set up for us. But it is up to us for us to walk in the work that God has set for us. Now, watch this. I said in the beginning, God counted us worthy. Now, watch this. Man lost sight of his worth. This is why we have so many people losing their self-worth right here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, "Now the serpent was more subtilent than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Verse number 6, because I want to stop there, but I got to read verse number 6, y'all. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes,
and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the tree, or she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I want you to see what happened, because this is how people lose their self-worth. Okay, this is how people lose out on what God has planned for them. God tells you, go this way. You tell somebody, or somebody finds out about, you know, what God has told you to do, and they tell you, oh no, God, oh no, honey, God's not doing it that way no more. God done told you to live holy. God done told you to live sanctified and holy. Oh no, baby, God's speaking in a new way. No, that's your flesh. You need to get yourself together. It's time for, what I'm saying is, it's time for us to stop listening to our flesh. It's time for us to start listening to the voice of the Lord. Yesterday, I was out with my family, and we're still, me and my wife and my children, we're having a weekend of family time, amen. And so my wife, we have a dog at the house, and my wife said on yesterday, because we chose not to stay at home, but we chose to go out and have a date night, and, you know, come back and get the kids and take them to a hotel for the weekend, and, you know, do little stuff with the family, you know, together. But yesterday evening, my wife came and said, well, you need to go by the house and check on the dog and make sure everything is, you know, this and that. And then my father-in-law called my wife and asked for some things that my wife said that she was going to bring to him, and she forgot. She was like, well, Adam, could you take this stuff to my father-in-law? I said, yeah, okay, it's fine. And the Lord, I was on my way to give my father-in-law the stuff, and the Lord said, stop what you're doing and go to your house. And I'm like, okay. And I started driving. I'm driving, and the Lord said, turn back around and go to your house. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to turn back around. I turned back around and went directly to my house. Come to find out, when I walked in my house, my boy's bedroom window was unlocked. And the Lord told me, when I went in, the Lord said, search your house. Just make sure everything's locked up. Now, the thing to that was is that my wife, before we left, thought that everything was locked up. I asked her, was everything locked up? She said, yeah, I locked up everything. She forgot to lock our boy's window. Now, what if I had to listen to the voice of the Lord? Now, I'm using a little thing here. Now, it might not be much to some people, but, you know, you don't want to leave your doors unlocked, you know, all that stuff. But what if I hadn't listened to the voice of the Lord? Maybe somebody could have broke in. I don't know. Amen. So anything could have happened. Amen. But I thank God for listening to the voice of the Lord. And then I went on after I locked up my house, you know, made sure my house was secure and everything. I went on about my business. But there is a lot, I said that to say this, there is a lot of people that will ignore the voice of God just to please their flesh. We got that in the church and out of the church. We got that in the church and out of the church. They will, look, let me show y'all something. God is not pleased. God is not impressed by the way we try to please our flesh. Because the flesh, let me share something with y'all. The flesh don't want nothing to do with your spirit side. The flesh wants everything that the world wants for you. Your spirit man, your soul, wants everything that the Spirit of God wants. Amen? But your flesh will tell you counteract what God wants you to do. We have three enemies in the spirit. We have three enemies. Three main enemies. The devil, demons, and our flesh. Amen? And the devil, see, the devil's a coward anyway because he sends people to do his work. He uses demons. He uses pains. He uses aches. He uses, messing with your homes, using people to try to upset you. He don't do it himself. He sends people. Amen? He's a coward. But watch this. God lets us know in John 10 and 10 that the thief cometh but to steal, kill. And all of these things that he does, he tries to steal from us. He tries to kill us. And he tries to destroy us. And this is, goes into our worth. The worth that God has planted on the inside of us from the very beginning. He tried to kill it. But God had a remedy. When man lost his self-worth, man lost his self-worth. And people are headed down a deadly road. People are looking for life in all the wrong places and going down a deadly road trying to satisfy the worldliness of the flesh. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Because this is powerful. Understanding your self-worth, understanding who you are in God, because it takes that. You have to know who God is, and you have to know who you are in God, who God has equipped you to be in him. Amen? Because we're all something in God, because he wouldn't have counted us worthy if we weren't something to him. And let me share this with you. Do you know that your self-worth is more important to God than it is to you? You might say, well, what? How is it more important to God than it is to me? I thought my self-worth was more important to me than God. No, because if you don't know your self-worth, then God can't use you the way he wants to. Come on, somebody. He can't use you the way he wants to if you don't know your self-worth. So he tries to let you know, hey, this is what I have for you. This is my plan for you. This is what I want for you. This is the way I want you to live. I have this set up for you so you can have your worth in me, not in the things of the world, not in your own worth, but my worth that I have for you, the thoughts that I think towards you. That's why he tells us, think on these things. Why is he all, throughout the Bible, the Lord is encouraging man. Why? Because he wants them to know their self-worth. He wants them to know how much power they have in him. Why? How do I know? Because the Bible says in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ that what? Strengtheneth me. He's letting us know. He's encouraging us that if we walk in him, we'll have the power and the strength to go through it. Despite the confusion, despite the madness, despite whatever we go through, we still have our joy. And with joy comes our self-worth. Hallelujah. Not only does come self-worth, but the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength.
comes our strength. Not our joy, because we, look, and let me share this with you. My pastor said something to me, or said something in a Bible class one time. He said, joy and happiness are two different things. Joy and happiness are two different things. Because when you get joy and you get it from the Lord, it can't be stolen from the world. There's a songwriter says that this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. Why do you think that is? Because happiness can be turned on and turned off in a whim. Joy can't. Joy cannot be turned off on a whim. Not supposed to be, anyway. I don't know what type of joy you have. If your joy being turned off at a whim, there's something wrong. It ain't from the Lord, because this joy that I have, the world can't take it away from me. No problem can end my joy. I can still go through the fire. That's why the Bible says, thank you, Jesus. Be encouraged. Sometimes the songwriter said, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. It didn't say encourage yourself in things. It didn't say encourage yourself in what man says. That's why my help, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. My happiness and my joy does not come from my mother, my father, my sister, my brother. I'm going to go further than that. My joy is not built up in my job. My faith ain't built up in my incomes that I have, the way the Lord supplies my income. It's not built on that, because that income can go just like that. That's why my hope is not, my hope, my joy, it don't come from that. My faith is not built up even in my wife or my children. Why? Because they could, look, Lord forbid, anything can happen. I've seen it happen. My Lord forbid. And that's what I tell my wife. If something should happen to me, you continue to live, baby. Continue to live. And she tells me the same thing, baby. If something happened to me, you continue to live. Amen. I got joy. I don't have my joy built up in my family. I love my wife. I love my mother. I love my father. I love my children. I love my nieces and my nephews. But they can't do me like Jesus. Amen. We have so many people. Look, let's just go to Luke chapter 6. I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh my God. Lord Jesus, Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Now, this is where we let people dictate, and we follow the wrong way. We let somebody tell us, no, the Lord didn't say it that way. Or, oh, I don't think you should do it that way. Or, you tell somebody, that's why it's not good to tell everybody everything. And I say that all the time. It's not good to tell everybody everything. Why? Because some people are not out for your best interest. Some people do not have your best interest at heart. We got examples in the Bible, even family. Sometimes families may not understand what the Lord has told you and how to do. Sometimes family won't even understand. I know the Lord didn't tell you to do that. Yeah, he did. It might have been a shock for the blind man when Jesus put the spittle in the man's eyes. It was probably a shock to everybody. Like, what is the Lord doing? Why is Jesus doing that? Just to heal somebody's eyes. It probably wasn't. This is why Job's wife, That's a good example, a family, friends. Job's friends came against him. Job's wife came against him. But he never charged God foolishly. Never. Amen. And this is why we say this. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And it reads, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Should they not both fall into the ditch? If your vision that God has given you is not met, if those people do not see that vision that God has given you, do not, look, do not, and I'm not saying throw people away, because I don't throw people away. But you don't have to linger around them. Amen? You don't have to, that's why it's not good to tell everybody everything. I don't tell everybody everything that I'm doing. Sometimes when I pray, when I'm in my deep prayers and stuff, there's some things I don't even tell my wife. Because my wife's going to look at me shocked. Like, Adam, wait a minute now. Come on. No. There are some times in my life, there are some times where I have told my wife, the Lord's going to work it out. And she looking at me like, wait a minute, like you're, and I think I get that from my mother, because my mother is that way. My mother will tell my father, the Lord's going to work it out. Don't worry about it. Knowing full well, where is it going to come from? And you know what? I got that much faith to believe it. I got that much. My worth don't come from things. My worth comes from the Lord himself, because he gave it to me. He gave it to me. That's why I said my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Amen. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Amen. This counters. This is matching up to the verse that we just read. Amen. Now watch this. Watch this. This is why you don't need to be connected to somebody that doesn't agree with the vision that God has given you. Now, you can still love them, as Job did with his wife. He told wife, yeah, honey, you speak as a foolish woman. I'm going to trust God. That's basically what he said. I'm paraphrasing y'all. But this is what the Bible says. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in a ditch. It says, let them alone. Let them alone, which means leave them alone. Leave them alone. Don't tell them any more stuff. Don't deal with them. That doesn't mean throw them away. That doesn't mean not. That doesn't mean stop loving them. But you don't have to tell them about that problem. They ain't got to understand it. That's the way we do it. That's how we do it. The Bible said let them alone. That means leave them alone. Don't tell them no more. If you got people in your life that is telling you God didn't do it this way, God said, oh, God is doing a new thing and it's going against the word of God, don't you deal with them people. Because it's gonna suck out your self-worth. It's going to suck out every bit of power out of you. I guarantee you, as I'm sitting here, if you hang out with the wrong people, the Bible says that the Bible lets us know that evil communication corrupts good manners. Amen? And it's not just talking about your mannerism, but it can mess up your whole, it can change your whole outlook on what God does if you hang with the wrong people, if you listen to the wrong people. It can change your whole outlook. Even family. They ain't just talking about friends. They ain't just talking about coworkers. They ain't just talking about, look, That's where the devil comes in. See, that's why I said the devil is a con artist. The devil is a con artist. He uses people to try to detour us away from the plan of God. Amen. He wants, the devil's going to hell. I'm just going to put that bluntly. But just like it says, the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. The blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. He's blind because he fell. Now he wants to take you with him. He wants you to go in the ditch with him. The devil wants you to go to hell with him. He does. That's point blank. I'm just telling it like it is. There's some people that believe that they're going to have a party in hell. I ain't going to be no party in hell. The Bible says there's going to be gnashing of teeth in the fire where the fire is not quenched. You're going to be burning and won't be burnt up, where maggots and worms eat at your flesh. Amen. And then on the flip side of that, and I hate to do this, but the Lord is leading me here to tell you what, just give you a glimpse of what hell is going to be like, so you won't have to go. Whether you be a saint or sinner, get your life together. If you a saint, if you calling yourself saved, stay saved. If you ain't saved yet, get saved, because hell is real. And I know we're talking about what being counted worthy, and he counted us worthy for heaven. But somewhere in there, man lost his self-worth. Adam lost his self-worth because of the choices that he chose to make. The disobedience, that is all what sin, that's how sin came into the world, because of disobedience. Disobedience brought sin into the world. And sin is the natural killer. They got all of these things that are natural born killers and all of this stuff. Sin is a detriment to mankind. And I say it all the time. You cannot have anything in this natural world without having your spirit attached to it. You can't. You can't live without the spirit. That's why it's so detrimental for you to be saved, because if you walk outside your door without the Holy Ghost, it is very dangerous to even walk outside your door without the Holy Ghost. But why is it detrimental? Doesn't the Lord give us a choice whether we want to receive the Holy Ghost or not? Yes, he does. It's freely given. But on the flip side of that, he wants you to receive it so that at the end of life, you can go from life to life, not life to death. Uh-oh. May not. Uh-oh, wait a minute. What you mean life to death? I'm not talking about your natural death. I'm talking about your spiritual death. This is all in this being, we are counted worthy. We are either going to be counted worthy for heaven or hell, one or the two. There is no in between. There is no gray area. There is no purgatory. Amen. The Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that is on the earth, is the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead will be the same Spirit that gets people out of the ground. The ones that are dead in Christ, the ones who died in Christ, that same Spirit that resurrected Jesus will be the same Spirit to resurrect them. Amen. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, to meet them in the clouds. That's what the rapture is. You can't be raptured out unless you have his spirit. Amen. And if you don't have his spirit, this is the reason why you can't go to heaven without his spirit. Because if you don't have his spirit, you're none of his, which means you're not welcome. But you, but Minister Adam, I thought you were I thought you said we were counted worthy. Yes, you're counted worthy, but you got to receive it. You have to receive the worthiness. Just like some people lose their self-worth, some people know their self-worth and then they lose it. They got to get it back, right? Man lost its self-worth when Adam chose to disobey God and bring sin into the world. It separated us from God. Now it's man's choice whether to come back to God or not. Amen. Now, I'm about to share something with you because there's something that the Spirit of the Lord has dropped in my spirit. Those that have lived through the Old Testament, because you might say that, you said that David and Moses and all of them in the Old Testament didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't. They did live by faith because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out. Okay? So they lived by faith. Well, I'm living by faith. But guess what? Anybody that is living, and I'm going to say this, yes, it is different for the people that came before the day of Pentecost because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out, and some of them didn't never see Jesus because they were already gone. Some were already dead before Jesus came onto the earth. Some died while Jesus was still a kid. Amen? Some died before Jesus died. Amen? The thief on the cross. Amen? He died. I believe he died before Jesus died. That's why he said, you shall be with me in paradise. But even before that, the Holy Ghost hadn't been given out. So the thief on the cross would go to heaven because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out to him. And God is not going to hold anybody accountable for something that he hasn't given out yet. Now, for us, he'll hold us accountable because the Holy Ghost had been given out. The Holy Ghost has been given out since the day of Pentecost. So that's why he holds us accountable to receive the Holy Ghost to make it to heaven. Because the difference between us and them back in the Old Testament, all the people that lived up until the day of Pentecost, they had no power to denounce sin. We got the power to denounce sin. That's why God gives us a choice to receive the Holy Ghost so we can live in our true self-worth. Amen. Jesus recounted us worthy when he went to the cross. Jesus recounted us worthy when he gave his life, John 3:16, as we quoted earlier. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Belief is an action word. Whatever you believe, that's what you're going to act upon. Your action is to repent. Your actions is taking the actions that God has told you to take, his statutes, his commandments, as we read. Amen. Acts 2:38 says, this is his commandment. In Acts 2:38, so that we can receive the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's God's commandment, to repent of your sins, to be baptized in his name, and to receive the Spirit that God has given out. To give out his Spirit, to receive his Spirit. You can't receive his Spirit any other way. There is nowhere in the Bible that God has given another command to receive his Spirit. There's no other way to receive his Spirit. And I know there's people that say, well, if I just confess the Lord, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I'm saved. No. Now, it is in there in the book of Romans. It is in there. I give that to you. It is. It's in there. But that's not all of it. Because what you confess, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you believe in your heart that Jesus did this, and you believe in your heart that God's word is real, you're going to follow, you're going to act upon what you believe. Acts 2:38. Now, some people believe that, hey, I believe that, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I believe that Matthew 28:19 tells me I'm supposed to be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That was not baptism. That's not baptism. That was the Great Commission. Commission means command. Commission means command. You're commissioning somebody. You're telling somebody to do something. God commanded that we baptize in the name of, what is the name? It didn't say names. It said name of. Well, the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. He said, I shall bring forth the comfort, and the comfort shall come in my name, Jesus. For she shall bring forth the Son, and they shall call his name what? Jesus. Amen. For I and my Father are one, which means it's me. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So when you see him, when they looked upon him, they looked upon the Father. What was the Father's name? I'm a father. I'm a father to my children, but I got a name. I'm a son to my parents, but I have a name. I'm a brother to my brothers and my sisters, and my sister-in-laws, and my brother-in-laws, but I have a name. I'm a husband, but I have a name. My name is Adam. There is nobody on this earth that I'm going to answer to if a man come to me and say, hey, son, now I know that, you know, some people joke around and, you know, whatever. But if somebody come and physically tell me, hey, son, excuse me, who are you? You're not my dad. I don't know you. Woman come to me and say, hey, son, you're not my mom. I don't know you. Wait a minute. That's weird. I'm not your son. I don't know you. Now, if my mom and dad say it, I will answer it because they're my parents, right? But I have a name. That's why people call me by my name, Adam. Nobody on my job calls me son. Nobody else calls me father on my job. Nobody calls you father or daughter, father or mother on your job. If you a mother or a father. Nobody says, hey, son, or hey, daughter, on your job. Do you go to your job and your boss says, hey, son, or hey, daughter? No, because you have a name. Same thing with Jesus. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself. Amen. Amen. He told us how we can get our worth back, because we lost our worth. And as I said, Acts 2:38. And then if we go to Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it lets us know. Amen. And let's go there real quick. Let's just go there. Let's go there real quick and let's see what the Lord has to say. Amen. Romans 12:1, and we know about this scripture because I have read this scripture backwards and forwards. Amen. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is counting us worthy. And this is how we get our self-worth back. Amen. Acts 2:38, as we read. about receiving the Holy Ghost. And then watch this. This is how we gain our self-worth back. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, amen, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's reasonable. Deny your flesh. Come up under subjection to the Holy Ghost. That's all he wants you to do. Be a living sacrifice. Whatever God says, that's what you do. And you'll live holy. You'll have the best blessed life ever if you do it God's way. Amen. Verse number 2 says, and be not conformed, watch this, be not conformed to what? This world, our mindset, but be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. He renews your mind when you gain your self-worth in him, when you gain your worth, when you gain back your worth, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have gained your worth back. Amen. You have gained your true worth in him that he has for you back, and you gained your self-worth. Well, some people might say, well, I don't have the Holy Ghost, and I got my self-worth. Do you really? Do you really? You might be a morally good individual. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't cuss, you don't do this, you don't do that. But guess what? To God, morally good is not good enough. He wants you to have the total package. He wants you to be the total and complete package for him. Amen? So that you can have the best, blessed life that you could ever live. That's why he said everlasting life. In John 3:16, everlasting life. What does that mean? It's not just talking about eternal life. It's talking about life down here too. Everlasting, that you can live, that you can go from life to life. Amen? That you can live this life and then leave this life and go into your eternal life. That's everlasting life. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This is how we get our worth back. Let's go to, I'm going to show you another scripture, how to gain your worth back. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. Let's go there real quick. Amen. Verse 24 and 25. Now watch this. This is where the sacrifice comes in at. This is how we gain our self-worth back, if you've lost it, or if you haven't found your true self-worth in him, the self-worth that he wants you to have, the blessed self-worth, amen, this is how you gain it. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. This script, these two verses mean that you deny your flesh, that you deny the things that you want for your life, and you pick up the things that God has for you. Amen. Just like Romans 12 and 1 said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is what it's talking about. This is it. This is it right here. Amen. That you deny yourself, deny your flesh, deny your want, deny your desires, and pick up the will of God. Amen. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What does that mean? You still holding on to the desires of your flesh. You still holding on to your will. You still holding on to what you want. You still wanting the stuff that you want. You still pleasing the devil. Come on now.
You still letting the devil ride you. You still let the devil, the Lord done dealt with you and dealt with you and dealt with you, saying, come on, my child. Come on and be saved. Come on and live holy. Come on, come on, come on, come on. He is dealing with you. He done sent signs and done signs for you, wonders for you, and you still not getting it. Or we are still not getting it, even in the church. You need to come up higher. We need to come up higher as the church body. Church, hear me today. We need to come up higher. Come up out of our own self-worth and come up unto God's self-worth that he has for us. Because God's self-worth is better than ours. He says he knows us better than we know ourselves. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts toward us are yea and amen. Sometimes our thoughts toward us is, man, Jesus, good Lord. Sometimes we need to change our thoughts about us. Sometimes we can't change our thoughts about us because we're not thinking in the knowledge of God. We're thinking of our own way. We're trying to do it our way. But we can't do it our way. We got to do it God's way. Amen. I'm going to give you one more scripture on how to gain your self-worth. If you've lost it, you can gain it back today. How to gain the worth that God has got for you. Amen. John chapter 14, verse number 6. Amen. And this is it right here. And it reads, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. You have to come to him. You have to come to him to gain your worth. To gain your true self-worth, it lies in him. It lies in Jesus. How do I know? Because the scripture we just read it, that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. The life that you need is in him. The ways that you need are in him. He gave you a way out to gain your worth. He counted us worthy. At the beginning, we lost our self-worth. He gave us right. He gave us right when he died. He gave us right in John 3:16. Amen. He gave us right. He gave us our rights back. Amen. I'm going to show you another scripture. I'm going to give you this scripture. In Jeremiah. Just to show you that he gave us our worth back. Amen. Lord is leading me to do this. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11. Now watch this. This is what God thinks towards you. This is why God wants you to walk in the worth that he has for you. Amen. I want to share this with you. I want to share this with you. This is why God wants us in the ways of God. This is the thought that he thinks toward us. This is what he thinks about us. This is the way he thinks about man. Amen. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What is that expected end? It is the everlasting life of God. It is the everlasting life that he talked about in John 3:16. That expected end is that eternal life that he has waiting for you in heaven. Yes, there is a life that you must live down here to get there. That's why he said, deny yourself. You got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him so that he can lead you to the ways that he would have you to go so you can make it to heaven. And I say it all the time. There's a
All everybody want to go to heaven. Everybody. Everybody, and I'm going to say it just like that. Everybody want to go to heaven. Not everybody's going to heaven. There's a lot of great NBA players. There's a lot of great professional wrestlers. There's a lot of great NFL players. There's a lot of great hockey players, baseball players, whatever you want to call it. But very few of them make it. Very few of them make it to the Hall of Fame. Same thing with us with heaven. There's a lot of people that want to go to heaven, but not everybody's going. Not everybody goes into the Hall of Fame. Not everybody goes into the Radio Hall of Fame. Amen? They even have Hall of Fames for radio. Amen? But not everybody goes in. Amen? So not everybody's going to heaven. Your preacher or the preacher might try to preach the person into heaven knowing full well that they lived an ungodly life. They don't make it so. There's going to be some people, and I'm not just talking about sinners. I'm talking about saints of God, the great falling away, as the Bible says, that there shall be a great falling away. But this is the time for you to get it right now. Amen. Let me go here to let me go to, he told us what we could have if we follow him. Acts 1:8. And he says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. Power to live right. Power to talk right. Amen. This Holy Ghost power to be a witness. Amen. To be a witness. Amen. I'm about out of time, but I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this. In Isaiah, you can go back and read these scriptures. Acts 1:8, Isaiah 45:2. Amen. He told us what we would have if we follow him. Amen. And these are the scriptures that he told us. 2 Timothy 1:7. Psalms 139:14 and Philippians 4:13. Amen. If we walk in our word that the Lord has given us, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. How do I know? Let's go to a very familiar passage of scripture right now. How do I know I'll be blessed if I choose to walk the way God would have me to walk? Romans 8:28, and we all know this one, Romans 8:28. Let's go there real quick, and let's see what saith the Lord. We all know this. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is the reason why our worth is more important to God than it is us. Amen. To allow us to know our worth in him so we can know our self-worth in ourselves so that we can do the will of God, because it's all according to his purpose. He has a purpose for us to be here. If he did not have a purpose for you to be here, you would be dead and gone. Some people say, well, why am I still here? Why am I still here? Life is just so hard. Why am I still here? Because God's got a purpose for you. And God needs you to know your self-worth. God needs you to know your worth in him so that you can gain your self-worth, so that you can do the purpose that God has fulfilled, that God has put on you to fulfill. You got to fulfill his purpose. Amen. You have to fulfill his purpose. Let's look at Psalms 91. Amen. Very familiar passage of scripture. Psalms 91. And I'm about done here. Psalms 91, verse 1 through 7. And this is what will happen. This is how we're blessed. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, and once you receive what God has for you, you'll have this. And it reads, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And I love this verse. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. We thank God. If we know our worth in him, he already counted us worthy. But if you gain that worth, that's why the devil doesn't want you to gain that self-worth in him. Because if you gain your true self-worth in him, if you gain your worth that the devil tried to separate us from, mankind from, if you gain that worthy that God has counted us for, woo, Jesus, and you gain the full knowledge of that worth and what he has in that worth for you, and you gain it, the Holy Ghost and everything else, there's power in that. Acts 1 and 8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have what? Power. Power to live right, power to talk right. You can denounce sin. You can rebuke the enemy. But you got to get there. We got to get there. Amen. And let's go down to verse 10 and 11 on Psalms 91. I'm going to read this real quick. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Amen. He will bless you. He will keep you. He's a keeper. He said that he would send the comforter. He won't leave us comfortless. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why the Holy Ghost is freely given. Those that want to accept it. He said that the comforter shall come in my name. I'm not going to leave you. Just because I'm gone off the earth physically doesn't mean I'm just going to leave you just without anything. I didn't just come to just leave you without anything. But he came that we might have a life, and that more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. He came that we might have a life, and that more abundantly. What is that abundant life? The Holy Ghost. The comforter. The comfort that we need when we go through the problems. The comfort that we need when we go through the tests and trials of life. The comfort that we may need when we go through the test of life. When children are acting up, when wife is acting up, when husband's acting up, when the bills ain't right, when money's funny, when, come on here, that's that peace. He give you that peace that surpasses all understanding in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. He'll keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. Amen. That's why he said, the thoughts I think towards you are, thank you, Jesus, not of evil, are good and not of evil. He said he'll give you an expected end to bring you through that. Amen. I got one more scripture for you. One more. Then we're gonna get out of here. This is why we need our word. This is why we were counted worthy. Amen. And when I've read this scripture before, Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33. And then we're going to wind it up and go home, y'all. Amen. Amen. And it reads, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. These are the reasons why God has counted us worthy. This is why when people are looking for self-worth, when people are looking for their worthy, they need to find it. They can only find it in God, because he said, if you seek him first, if you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Everything you need is in the house of God. Everything you need, everything you desire, everything that you need for life itself. I told you a couple weeks ago that this Bible is a life book. It'll teach you how to live life. I grew up with a preacher, Pastor Dorothy McGordon. She was a life preacher, and she used the word of God, and my current pastor and First Lady, they use the word of God as a life changer. And you can. It'll teach you how to live life. That's what the Bible stands for, basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what it stands for. Amen. I pray that you got something out of this in Jesus' name. I pray that this has blessed your soul on today. Amen. I love doing this because I love ministry. Pray for me, because I've been praying to the Lord in these last couple of minutes that I have. I've been praying to the Lord and asking God about some things and praying to the Lord about some things and talking to my pastor about some things. And just pray for me, because the job that the Lord has for me, pray that the Lord's will be done through everything. Amen. Through everything that Adam Tuggle does. I ain't even going to say Minister Adam Tuggle, because it's not my ministry. It's God's ministry that he has blessed me with. Amen. So I want to do things in decency and in order unto the Lord. Amen. And I want to be in God's will in everything that I do. And the Lord, I had a meeting on this past week, and I believe in that meeting that the Lord was really, really present in that meeting, in Jesus' name. So pray for me as I pray for you in Jesus' name. I pray that you have a very, very blessed weekend in Jesus, all rest of your weekend. In Jesus' name, God bless you. I love each and every one of you in Jesus' name. And continue to walk in the worth that God has counted you for. Amen. And as it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. I love you. In Jesus' name, Bishop Cook, God bless you. I love you as well. Thank you for allowing us to come one more Saturday to teach the word of God over the airways. In Jesus' name, Spirit Alive family, I love you. In Jesus' name, I love each and every one of you. Y'all know who y'all are. In Jesus' name, audience, I love you guys. Make sure that you listen to the Spirit Alive Network all this week, because we got some great stuff coming, y'all. We still got some work to do in Jesus' name until the Lord's coming. The Bible says, occupy until I come. So that's what we're doing over here at the Spirit Alive Network. We are occupying in ministry until he comes in Jesus' name. And as my grandmother used to say, amen, my grandmother used to say this, if you don't see me again, I'll see you in the rapture. But I'm going to little bit, paraphrase it, amen. If you don't hear my voice again, amen, I love you, and I thank God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. And if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. I love you. This is the Summit Internet. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio in Jesus' name. God bless you, and I will see you next week in Jesus' name.